So thank you very much, and great appreciation to APHA and OHS section. And this is my sixth year to be with you. So appreciating your hospitality, and really it is a great conference with great achievements. My talk is an underestimated extrapulmonary effect of silica dust exposure renal affection with my colleague Professor Agay Bazar. No relationships to disclose. Here is my institution where I'm working. Occupational exposure to silica dust, especially its crystalline form, is primarily related to silicosis, which is a well-known fibrogenic lung disease. Silicosis mortality trends are markedly decreasing in industrialized countries. Meanwhile, the situation is worse in developing countries. In the United States, 1 to 2 million are potentially exposed to silica, and at least 10% of these workers may have dangerously high exposures, at least 2 to 10 times the recommended permissible limits of exposures. In Egypt, about 40,000 workers are estimated to be exposed to silica. More than 5/4 of this number may be underestimated and not officially registered. However, many extra pulmonary effects due to silica dust exposures are reported: systemic lupus erythematosus, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune systemic vasculitis, especially that mediated by P status of anti-neutrophil cytoplasmic antibodies, systemic inflammation, and autoimmunity that may result from the chronic inflammation status. However, the renal affection and the silica is a story that was reported and observed through analysis of some cohort studies and some recent case control studies, where silica-exposed workers had 5% excess risk of end-stage renal disease and almost 2% excess risk of death due to kidney disease, and up to 40% increased risk of chronic kidney disease was associated with silica dust exposure in a case-control study, with strong specific association with renal insufficiency and a dose response trend. Other studies revealed inconsistent results regarding silica-related nephropathy. Mechanisms of possible silica-induced renal affection is still unclear, with possible indirect effect, especially as related to autoimmunity. From a pathophysiologic point of view, recently it was highlighted that silicon-containing compounds may be directly damaging the renal system. The markers used in different studies to investigate impairment in renal function was urinary albumin for evaluating glomerular integrity, the alpha-1 microglobulin for assessing tubular function, and the N-acetyl beta D glucuronidase to indicate tubular injury. However, urinary albumin creatinine ratio now is a popular marker for renal affection, and it is easy to be done on routine basis because other markers are more or less theoretical, investigatory, and may not be suitable for mass screening. And the urinary albumin creatinine ratio is good to adjust for many other covariates, so it is a sensitive biomarker for early nephropathy. However, oxidative stress is now emerging to be an important pathophysiologic link to many chronic diseases, and especially in relation both to silica dust exposure and chronic parenchymal organ affection, especially kidney. Superoxide dismutase and glutathione esterase activities are among these investigated parameters. The aim of the current study looked for identifying the possibility of renal affection among workers exposed to silica with and without silicosis. To determine alterations of some oxidative stress and autoimmune biomarkers among silica exposed workers. So a cross-sectional study was carried out in a factory of refractory industry in Alexandria. All male workers exposed to silica dust were included in the study, 337, from three departments of the company: milling, mixing, and production. And there they were examined by the standard chest X-ray as a routine surveillance in their periodic medical examination. Silicotic cases that were identified among them were 41, and they were diagnosed according to the ILO classification, radiographs of pneumoconiosis. Of course, all films were examined independently and compared to the standard radiographs by three experienced occupational health physicians, and the median result was considered. The estimated sample size, assuming prevalence of renal affection among silica-exposed and non-exposed workers of 40% and 5% respectively, the minimum for each group was 27 according to the APM4 program. Workers free from chronic diseases that may bias the results and may cause microalbuminuria such as hypertension, diabetes mellitus, renal diseases, urinary disorders were excluded, and we have classified and identified three groups that were randomly selected and matched for sociodemographic characteristics. Each of the group included 27 workers. So we do have exposed silicotic group, exposed non-silicotic group, non-exposed group from the administrative department. After ethical considerations, all participants were subjected to a pre-designed questionnaire about personal, medical, and smoking histories, as well as occupational data, clinical examination to ensure compliance of the study population with the inclusion criteria, anthropometric measurements and body mass index, measurement of the urinary albumin creatinine ratio in the second morning spot sample, and microalbuminuria was defined to be that range between 30 and 300 milligrams per gram creatinine. Determination of serum activities of superoxide dismutase and glutathione esterase were conducted. Also, P ANCA and C ANCA status were examined, and we have quantified the degree of pneumoconiosis by using this arbitrary pneumoconiotic score, considering the number of lung zones affected, multiplying them by the median perfusion and the median of the size opacity. According to a parallel environmental survey, exposure levels to respirable free silica in the milling, mixing, and production departments of the plant were identified, and all of them were exceeding the permissible levels, which is 0.05 milligram per meter cube in Egypt. None of the workers used personal protective equipment, hoping to see you one day in Egypt. So, results. There was no differences regarding age, body mass index, smoking status, and duration of working years among the three groups: exposed silicotics, exposed non-silicotics, and non-exposed groups. This is the chest radiographic findings from where we generated the NEEM Connect score, and its mean was 5.8 among the silicotic cases, of course. Urinary albumin creatinine ratio of the study population showed significant high levels among workers exposed to silica dust, whether they have silicosis or they do not have silicosis, in comparison to the non-exposed workers. On the other hand, the antioxidant levels of the studied population as related to silica dust exposures showed decreased antioxidant activity with regards to SART and glutathione S transferase among exposed workers, whether they do have silicosis or they do not have. And when we take the positive cases with microalbuminuria, we find also significant reduction in the antioxidant activities among the group with microalbuminuria for the two markers of oxidative stress, the superoxide dismutase and the glutathione S transferase. Correlation between urinary albumin creatinine ratio and other variables showed significant effect for age, duration of exposure in years, level of exposure, the superoxide dismutase and the glutathione as well. Multivariate analysis with multiple linear regression model with urinary albumin creatinine ratio as the dependent variable showed that age, duration of exposure, level of exposure to silica dust, and the antioxidant activity of SOD and glutathione S transferase are the significant determinant factors. So in conclusion, urinary albumin creatinine ratio levels were significantly elevated among silica exposed workers in comparison to those non-exposed without correlation to the status of silicosis, indicating the possibility of silica-induced renal affection. Multivariate analysis revealed that the most important predictors of urinary albumin creatinine ratio were age, duration of exposure, and level of exposure to silica. Reduced antioxidant activity of SOD and glutathione S transferase were significantly associated with both exposure to silica and microalbuminuria, with independent negative effect of SOD activity on urinary albumin creatinine ratio. Quantitative ANCA testing results were negative for all silica exposed workers in this study, regardless of the urinary albumin creatinine ratio, suggesting another possible mechanism of silica-induced nephrotoxicity, such as oxidative stress. So, early detection of renal affection should be included in periodic medical examination of silica-exposed workers by screening for the urinary albumin creatinine ratio. And of course, we may recommend that workers with background renal disease should not be employed in jobs with potential hazard of exposure to silica. Further follow-up studies are needed to understand the pathophysiology and reversibility of silica-induced renal affection. Occupational health policies should focus on effective exposure control with emphasis on proper use of personal protective equipment, especially in developing countries like Egypt. And thank you.